Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our reading tonight comes from Nehemiah 4:15-23. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. And I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "The work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, "Let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may guard for us by night and may labor by day." So neither I nor my brothers, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes, and each kept his weapon at his right hand.
Thank you, Easter. Let's all bow our heads in prayer, everybody. Father, thank you for this opportunity to come into your word. Today, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and illuminate your Bible, your scriptures for us, that we may be able to see destiny and purpose, not just for us individually, but us corporately as your church. We pray, God, that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth. Lord, we pray for, God, an encounter with you beyond my ability to preach, Lord, and our ability to receive. We pray that there would be a divine encounter with your Holy Spirit tonight. Through the illumination of your word. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. Amen. Say hi to a few people around you. Introduce yourself if you don't know people around you. This is what the church is all about. It doesn't matter which state you support. We are unified in the maroon blood of Jesus. Amen. Like I said, my name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. And we're really glad to have you all with us tonight. Really glad to have Pastor Henry back in the house tonight. We really missed him. I saw a video of him eating Jollibee, and I committed the 10th commandment. I broke the 10th commandment, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's meal." And so, we're glad to have you back. I know Helen is glad to have you back as well. I know Ezekiel and Praises are glad to have you back. But we're really blessed to have Pastor Henry back in the house. We're continuing in this series called We Love the City. And I'm really blessed to be here in Logan tonight because this is the city that God has called us to build in. Amen? And so over this last 3 weeks, this is the third week in this series, we've been talking about where God has, we've been talking firstly about ourselves as builders. We've been talking about what it looks like to be a builder. We've been talking a little bit about what we're building. We talked about a wall, and I'll talk about it again in a moment. And we also last week talked about who we build with, who God has called us to build with. And so today, since we've answered the what and the who, today the title of my message is Go Where. Go Where. I want us to recognize that when God calls us to a specific place, it's not just a geographical location. It's not just a geographical location. I'm going to break that down for you a little bit more, but I just want to recap over the last few weeks, just talk a little bit about what we are, the questions that we asked. And the questions that we asked right at the top of the series was, are you a builder? Do you believe that where God has called you to build, when you look at your family, or when you look at the environment that God has called you to be in, whether you're working, I know we've got a lot of students in here that are in high school or even a primary school or even university. You aware of the way that God wants to build in and through you right there? Do you believe that the work that God has called you to is good work? Is it excellent? Because when you work where you are, your work is also worship. Now, I'll expand on that in just a moment. But I wanted to just ask these questions again, just to prompt our thinking, kind of set a backdrop for everything that I want to talk about tonight. The second question I asked in the first week was, why a wall? You'll remember this? The three P's that describe why God has called us to build walls. And by walls, I'm not talking about relational walls when you don't like somebody, so you build a wall so that it blocks you from them. No, I'm not talking about that wall. I'm talking about a wall that protects you and protects the calling of God on your life. And so speaking of these three P's, that's actually the first P, to be protected from the enemy. The second P is to preserve God's glory. And then the third P is to provide peace so that when the wall is up, you have a complete peace because you're secure in the presence and purposes of God. Last week, in our second week, I ended with this phrase from Nehemiah chapter 6. You'll remember this phrase? I am doing a great work. Everybody read this with me. I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Is the work that God has called you to do a great work? Not great in your own eyes, but great in terms of how God is called to build in you and through you. Is it a great work? See, what had happened at that time was Nehemiah was so invested in building this wall around Jerusalem because Jerusalem was left in ruins. And it broke his heart, right? It broke his heart. How many of you, when you see the place where you grew up and maybe something happens, maybe it becomes dilapidated and it falls apart, or maybe you don't see that the same care that was there in your childhood, maybe you see it now and it's all wrecked. It kind of wrecks you a little bit. Last week I touched on how, you know, I know we've got some Tongans in the house tonight as part of our spiritual family here. But when we saw the eruption that caused the tsunami in Tonga, you know, like it's heartbreaking for us as Pacific Islanders, but more specifically for those who call that place home. And that was the heart of Nehemiah, was when he heard the news that the land of where he came from, the city where he came from, Jerusalem, which means The word Jerusalem literally means the place of peace. Salem coming from the word shalom, which is peace or completion. And so when he heard that the place of completion and peace was in a wreck and it was lit on fire and the walls were torn down, he recognized, wow, I'm called to go back and be a part of the rebuilding of the place of peace. And so when he committed himself to that work, how many of you know? The great theologian Taylor Swift was right. Haters gonna hate, 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 hate. And there were these three guys, you'll remember this? Tobias, Sanballat, and Geshem, right? And they started hating on him because they recognized that despite the small nation of Israel, because Israel is only a small nation, it only takes you a few hours to get right from one end of the nation to the other. That's how small it is. But this tiny nation was able to defeat many of the giants around them, including empires like Egypt. You'll remember, like, when they defeated Egypt at the Red Sea, when the water parted, the whole army of Pharaoh, the most powerful army in the world, was defeated when the sea engulfed all of that army. So their reputation was already one of power. And so this tiny nation, if the main capital, which is Jerusalem, is torn apart, they recognize that there is no power. But when someone says, I'm going to rebuild so that the power is restored in that land, you better believe that the neighbors were a little bit scared. And that's the reason why they plotted against the building of Jerusalem. And so when these men decided, they tried everything. They moved from gossip to the place of actual slander, and they tried to kill Nehemiah and all the men that had committed to building the wall. And then it moved from them to actually, you'll remember this from last week, they called a meeting for Nehemiah to come to the place. You'll remember the name of the valley where the meeting was? Who remembers the name of the valley? Yell it out. Oh no, right? Y'all know the TikTok song, right? That was probably ringing in Nehemiah's ears. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. That's what the Holy Spirit was whispering in his ear. You're not to go down to that meeting and oh, no, because it's going to be like, oh, no, right? And so Nehemiah turned around to his boys and he said, you know what? You guys send the message. And the message was what you see on the screen. And I want you to read it out. And this time I want you to read it out loud. Come on, everybody, say it with me. I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Let me tell you, every single person in here is called to do great work. But there's always going to be people that'll hate on you, try to pull you away from the work, the great work that God has called you to. There's great destiny and great purpose in the city of Logan. And a lot of the change and transformation is going to happen through its people. It's going to happen through this church. And I really believe with all my heart that we are to commit to the great work. But let me tell you something. Not everybody's going to come along for the ride. And so there'll always be an invitation to the meeting at, oh no, for you as well. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you don't have to be so hard out a Christian. You don't have to be so hard out somebody who builds what God's called you to build. You could just take a step back. There is one of the founders of this movement, Pastor Rice Brooks. He'd always say, hey, every time you take a step back and shrink back in your spiritual walk, there'll always be a group of people ready to meet you and encourage you that you've taken the right step. It's not the right step. Because often at times when you're advancing the kingdom of God, you may feel alone because you're pioneering, you're doing in good work, but you must be encouraged by the example of Nehemiah that you are doing a great work and you cannot come down. Oh, come back and party with us. Come back to your old ways. Come back. You may not have heard it, but maybe you got a friend that's heard it. You know what I'm saying? Don't go watch Origin with your church friends. You just stay with us. Have a drink with us. Because this is the way we do it. Just because everybody else does it, doesn't mean it's a good thing. Man, it's quiet in here. Norm, I don't know what's up, man. I thought there were some people in here. All right, let's carry on. I love you guys. Come on, let's carry on. It says here in Nehemiah chapter 4, and this is the part of the passage that Easter read. There's a couple of truths in here. I just wanted to land on this verse. Watch this. It says, when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. Our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plan because they were plotting to disrupt the work of God. And there may be people that talk bad about the work that God wants to do in and through you. There's two truths that we can learn from this passage. The first truth that we can learn is that his presence is found in his purpose. Let me say that again. His presence is found in his purpose. But we live in 2022. I know it's confusing sometimes because of this pandemic as to what year it exactly it is. But I want to encourage you that his presence is found in his purpose, even today. And the reason why I bring that up is because often when we talk about his presence, we feel like it can only be sensed. His presence can only be sensed in a worship experience that kind of looks like this. Or maybe it's only on a Sunday night when we come together at Logan. That's when I feel his presence. But what about on a Monday when you're about to have an argument with your spouse? I'm here to tell you today that there's also the presence of God in that environment too. Hello, somebody. Because blessed are the peacemakers. How about, you know, the times when you're at school and you're tempted to do something that you know you shouldn't do because it's just going to ruin your life. It's not good for you to make that decision. The presence of God in that moment. Oh, but I don't have an Every Nation Music CD. Or I don't know. Some of you don't even know what a CD is. You know what I'm saying. I don't have my Spotify worship playlist. Where's Oceans? You know, I need to play that on my playlist. The Spirit lead me. Where my sons are without daughters. I don't know. What's the words? And we often equate the presence of God to worship experiences. But we're afraid of those worship experiences when they're actually the encounter of the worship experience in God actually means we have to do something. Because guess what? Singing a song doesn't cost you anything. If you're a bad singer, it'll cost your neighbor. But it doesn't cost you anything. The moment that worship costs you something, that's actually when it becomes worship. The only place in the Bible where you find a definition of what worship is, it describes worship as being an offering of yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, for this is spiritual worship. It's the only place in the Bible where you find a definition of what worship is. It's offering yourself as a sacrifice. That means it's going to cost you something. But we become so consumerist about in our approach of seeking the presence of God in worship experiences that have dimmed lights and have a band. But what if Natalia's not going to be there to sing you the worship song, your favorite song? What if there is no Nico on the drums or Marius on the bass? What will you do then? In your times of trouble, you're like, I don't know. I don't know how to face this obstacle because I don't have the worship team around me. How many of you know the presence is a lot more than just music? It's not evoked by music. It's being in obedience in the place that he's called you to be in. When we often think about his presence being found in worship experiences, we equate worship to music. But I'm here to tell you today that worship is not just music. Worship, honestly, looks a lot more like this. It's being where God has called you to build and building alongside those he's called you to build with. You're with me? How you build where God has called you to be faithful is also where his presence can be found. That's his presence. When I'm walking alongside my brothers and sisters in this room who we're called to build alongside, that's where his presence is found. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is unity, Psalm 133. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, right? Where the presence, in his presence, there is fullness of joy, the psalm says. It's all found in his presence, and it's all found when we are purposefully walking out in what he's called you to do. I would encourage you, the times when you have not sensed the presence of God, it may equate to you not being in the place that God has called you to build. Because when you're building in his purposes, you sense his presence. And there's a security that comes, even in the desert seasons of your life where you haven't heard from God, but you know there's a security in building where he's called you to build. When you're building alongside the others he's called you to build with, and when what you are building is helping others to see God in what you are building, that's when you are in the presence of God, because the presence of God is found in obedience. And obeying him to be faithful in what God has called you to do today. That's where the presence of God is. What has he called you to build? Let me ask you that question again. I want you all to look up at me real quick. What has he called you to build? And are you building it on a regular basis? So that's the first truth, is that the presence of God is found in his purposes. The second truth is that the safest place to be is in God's presence. And by safe, I don't mean comfortable. I need to reiterate that, because sometimes when we think about safety, we think about it's all about being comfortable, being in a place that you have comfort. I'm here to tell you today, sometimes being in God's presence and purposes, more often than not, it's not comfortable. There's a stretching that happens. You all know what I'm talking about? You all been there? Let me just explain it a little bit, right? Nehemiah had a comfortable job. He was working for the king. So you know what? If you're an employee of the king and you have close proximity to the king, how many of you know the king takes care of those who work with him? There's a comfortability right there. But when he heard the news about Jerusalem being torn down, he started to weep and he fasted. Some of us just like the weeping part. But when God says, oh man, I need you to fast, come seek me. You're like, oh no, it's all right, I'll just cry. It's all good, because that'll just make me cry even more if I don't eat. Why do they call it fast? It's so slow, right? Dad joke, I know, just pressing everybody. Nehemiah wept and he cried, but he didn't just stop there and crying and fasting and praying. The prayer and the presence of God pushed him to move, pushed him to action. Because guess what? There's a lot of Christians that just cry, but we're not moving. We're not taking action. And so that compassion that God put on the heart of Nehemiah caused him to leave his cush job as the cupbearer for the king in one of the most powerful nations in the world at that time, Babylon, to go ask and boldly ask, because at that time, you know, like if you said anything wrong to the king, he could have your head, right? But he had enough boldness in him because he had the compassion of the Lord, and he approached the king and asked for literally 2 months off, 2 months leave, and then asked, like I always jokingly say, he literally asked him, hey, do you mind if I take some supplies from the local Bunnings so that we can rebuild this wall, right? And the king was like, sure, take this letter down to the governors. You can have whatever you want. How many of you know that's favor? Because he did great work. You know, if his work was, as we say in my language, which means do things like we won't say what, you know, like the slang term, half whatever, you know. But like you do things half masked. You know, like what ends up happening is that you don't have a reputation. Like, why should I give you leave? Yeah, you can leave. Bye. You're fired, right? Because your work is not excellent. But if you do excellent work and you do it to the glory of God and you're consistent over a period of time, that equals favor because you're in the presence of God as you do that work. Just be faithful where you are. And you watch what God opens up. So he has this favor, and his weeping takes him to action. But the action just doesn't stop there, because another danger is that we fall into the trap of just taking action ourselves. And some of us, and this may be a cultural thing in some of our cultures, we are afraid to ask for help when we know that the task is much too big for us. And so when the time comes for us to be challenged, hey, I'm going to need some help here. But there's this pride in us that kind of says, you know what, I don't need help. Can you imagine the game we're about to watch later on? I won't say which team, but let's say one of the teams just says, you know what, I can take the other team on by myself. You know how ridiculous that would look? Not even the maroon team can do that, right? Like no matter what team you're a part of, you need a team. And the kingdom of God is always a team sport. You have to build with others. The kingdom of God is not tennis. It's not golf. It's a lot more like football. Any kind of football requires a team, whether it's AFL, NRL, NFL, right? All of these require a team. So Nehemiah went from weeping and fasting to action to building a team. Who's on your team? Who are you building with? And what are you building? You see, if you are building something that is only about you and what you are building is too small. God always calls you to do, like, again, another great theologian by the name of Vanilla Ice said, you need to stop, you need to collaborate, and you need to listen. That's the last time you'll hear me quote Vanilla Ice in a sermon, all right? Psalm 91, it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. How many of you are encouraged by that tonight? I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you. Everybody say, you're covered. Turn to somebody, encourage them, you're covered. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. The best place to find out what God is building is to find out where he shelters people, right? His presence here is described as a shelter. And whenever you build a building, the primary purpose for most buildings is to provide shelter. And so when we look at what we're building, I'm not just talking about literally building, but I'm also talking about what you're building your life around. Does your life help to provide shelter, spiritual shelter, physical shelter, you know, compassion shelter? Does it help to build shelter for those who are unsheltered? Especially through the message of the gospel. See, shadows to you might be scary. We were going to try this out with Mike, but I said, you know what, let's not try it. But I was going to test, like, if we turned all the lights off in here, guess what? It'll be dark. Wow. But how many of you know in complete darkness there is no shadows? You know why there's no shadows? Because there is no light. In order for shadows to be seen, there needs to be light behind them. And so when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the reason why it's not the valley of death, but the valley of the shadow of death, is the reminder that the light is with you, right? So he who dwells, come on, give him praise, everybody. So he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty, no matter what your circumstances are. If you continue to build the shelter for other people, because God activates his body to do the building, others will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The light is behind the shelter. I want you all to be encouraged with that. So let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 4. From that day on, half of my servants worked on the construction and half held the spears, the shields and bows and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building the wall. And those who carried the burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. How hard that must have been, right? You got it's on one hand, it's hammer time. On the other hand, you've got the sword. So I don't know how you do that, right? And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man sounded the trumpet. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. I think another truth that we can gather from this part of the passage is understanding that when he calls you, he calls you not just because of what you can do, but how many of you know, like initially it was about, okay, you guys are good at building, you guys are good at fighting. So you guys build, you guys fight. But did you notice there was an evolution in the way they served? By the end of just these three verses, everybody's got a hammer and everybody's got a weapon because everybody needs to learn to fight and everybody needs to learn to build. Just like today in the spirit, every single one of us needs to learn to fight in the spirit and not just wimp out and let the enemy run all through your household. You need to fight in prayer. You need to fight in the spirit. You need to fight in his word and you need to build. Every single one of us as Christians needs to fight and build. If we just become lax about spiritual climate in our homes, guess who's going to rule our homes? What are we building? And so when we ask this question, we must answer it this way, you know, understanding the way that God, his calling is not just more about what we can do, but it's more about where he's called us to and who he's called us to. It's a people and a people within that place. It's learning to be faithful in where you are right now. Because many of us, we look over the fence. We look towards what could possibly be next when we are far from faithful in the right now, building right now. It's more about, God, what am I called to do in this place in serving his people? We're called to Logan, and we as a church are committed to building where God has called us to build. If he's called us to Logan, we need to be a church that provides a light for the people of Logan so that people can find their way home to Jesus. And it's not just through the preached message of myself or Pastor Henry or other preachers in this room, but it's all of us committing to saying, look, how can I be faithful to build where God has called me to build right where I am? And that is stirred from a place of intimacy with him. You figure out where he's called you to build when you walk with the one who is the master builder. Reminded of this quote from one of my favorite books that's really affected my Christianity growing up. It's a book called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby, and he says this: many people want God to call them to a big assignment. However, they try to bypass the love relationship. The love relationship is why God created you. That is far more important to him than what you do. So anticipate that God will start working with you and drawing you into an intimate love relationship that is real and personal. When the love relationship is right, God will be free to begin giving you assignments at his initiative. Whose initiative? Whenever you do not seem to be receiving assignments from God, focus on the love relationship and stay there until the assignment comes. Because the human tendency is for us to look at the romantic picture. Oh, I recognize I may be able to do missions over there because it looks so romantic. Looks like a travel brochure, right? I was mentioning this morning about, you know, like how some people feel called to go to the Gold Coast. Oh, that sounds like heaven because, you know, I was reading in the Bible that, you know, about the heavens like the streets of gold. And then I looked at and I saw Gold Coast and I saw, oh, yeah, it must be the Lord calling me to the Gold Coast. And then, come on, let's be real. Like you saw a picture like this. You saw like slow motion tourism commercials. I remember like when I was growing up back in New Zealand, like before you watch a movie, there's all those tourist ads right before the trailers. And there's always the Gold Coast looks so romantic. It looks so amazing. It looked like this, you know, like people playing with beach balls in the ocean. And it just looked like a place, looked like heaven. You're just like, wow. And I'll have abs like that too when I go to the Gold Coast. I feel like God is calling me there. But how many of you know, and I won't do it, Norm. How many of you know, like when you get to the Gold Coast has some issues too, right? All you have to do is Google Gold Coast news and you can see the different things that have happened in the Gold Coast in the last week. It's not as romantic as the travel brochures will tell you, right? It's the equivalent. It's the equivalent of those who feel like a calling to Korea based on like K-pop and K-drama. Right? Oh, I feel like God is calling me to Korea. I'm going to say, oh, because, you know, I saw a BTS. I mean, I saw, you know, the Lord speaking to, oh, come on, man. Or a calling to India based on Bollywood films. No, when you are called by God, you are called to the people on the ground. Missiologists will tell you this, that when you are experiencing the calling to do any form of missions, it's not based on a Google search. You have to go on the ground and spend a lengthy period of time there to gather the way that the culture operates so that you can be effectively used by God to impact that culture. And often at times, when you get on the mission field, how many of you know that the mission works on you? How many of you like have migrated from another nation to be here in Australia? How many of you? Okay. How many of you thought, okay, Australia's going to be like this? And then when you got here, it was different. How many of you are like, wow, yes. Some of you didn't put your hands up at all. That's all right. Must be Blues fans. That's all right. I love you. Let me finish off this quote. Henry Blackaby says, biblically, God always gives the assignment first, then equips the person by the Holy Spirit to accomplish what he assigns. Let me read that again. I want you to catch that. Biblically, God always gives the assignment first, and then he equips the person by the Holy Spirit to accomplish what he assigns. Rather than focusing on what our church is doing for us, we ought to be asking what God is seeking to do in our church through us. What Blackaby is saying here is that you are called to a people. And I want to reiterate this. I need you to catch this in the spirit. This is a really important truth. Some of you might be tempted to limit God's calling on your life because you feel like you don't have the ability to step into that thing. Oh, I'm not a good singer, therefore I can't go into that. Or I'm not good at doing administration, therefore I can't do that. Whatever the need is, can you trust the Holy Spirit to equip you for whatever that people need? Can you trust that he might change your giftings? Can you trust that he might mold you and shape you and empower you in a different way when you meet him in his presence? Because maybe there's skills that you didn't have before, but if you're just faithful to show up to the people that God has called you to be around, that God might actually change and mold you and anoint you in a different way. I've seen this happen time and time again in my life where I've, you know, all I've done is like, I've been hesitant, but I'm being like, God, whatever the need is, I'll go. And then I just go and show up. And God just gives me this ability that I never had by his spirit. It's not by my own might. It's all to the glory of God, where I just show up. And then all of a sudden, like through an accelerated process, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he shows up and anoints me for his purpose that I had no idea I'd be able to do. And he's doing the same thing in all of us. If we'll just say yes to his purposes and walk in his presence, he'll actually show up and empower you in his presence. We love the worship experience, but we don't like the empowerment, because the empowerment means that I have to do something. But if we just show up, if we just show up to the place where the people are, you trust God will use you. Don't limit him by your inability. Trust that when you show up, God will give you supernatural ability. Look all throughout the Bible. Look at the person of Moses. Moses was to be used by God. If you read Exodus chapter 3, he was to be used by God. And he comes there, right? Meets God at the burning bush. And there's all sorts of excuses that he has. I'm not a good speaker. I don't know if I can do this. I can't think this way. And you know what God says to him? After he says, well, who shall I say sent me? And God says to him, I am that I am. You all remember this? Yahweh, the mention of his name. The reason why he doesn't say, I am healer, or I am shepherd, or I am speaker, or I am prophet. He doesn't say any of that, because he just says, you know, whatever you need, I'm going to show up in you for whatever that task is. All I need you to do, Moses, is show up. Show up in the most powerful man in the world, at that time, the Pharaoh, just show up in his court and I'll give you the right words to say. Show up in his court and I will anoint you to have favor. Just show up. But so many of us can't show up. So many of us shrink back from showing up, even in our own homes. You know, for my parents in here, we shrink back from the opportunity to represent him well as parents. I'm here to encourage you today. Our children are watching our example. I had the opportunity yesterday. I was in Sydney because New South Wales needs Jesus, and I was there. I was there. Many of you know my stepbrother passed away last week, and so I was there for the funeral, and I had the opportunity to preach at the funeral yesterday just before they buried my stepbrother, and there's a real reality in the room. And I looked across. I hate the fact that when we go to funerals, you see people that you haven't seen for years. And it's always the same comment, right? I hate that we meet at places like this. But there was a reality check that happened, because I mentioned in my message that, see, I grew up with my cousin Richard, because my now stepdad, follow me, okay, family tree. My father passed away in 2009. My mom remarried in 2012 to my dad's cousin. So his kids are my cousins, right? And then we grew up as cousins, and now we're stepbrothers and sisters now, okay? So I'm literally his brother. But you know how it is in our island families, right? We're brothers anyway. And so, you know, he's about 10 years older than me. Way too young, see, because I'm still 24. I just lied in church. I'm not. Sorry, Jesus. Now, he's in his mid-50s. I'm in my mid-40s, right? And so I'm looking at over this grave, and I mean over this coffin, and I'm just encouraging my people there that, you know how the kids these days, all my young people in here know what I'm talking about. You hear, I know it was Kanye West that came up with the first saying of it, but everybody says it now, that you want to give people their flowers while they can still smell them. So I went down the line, I looked across that room, and I said, that's my big bro, that's my big sis, you know, like all through the room. But I also told them, I stand here because I observed your example, the good and the not so good stuff. Like, I didn't say that part, I'm just saying it with you, because we're family, and you better be family. Anyway. But, you know, like I was just saying, you know, because a lot of his generation are like his age and slightly older. And so I just said to them, like, I watched your example. I watched his example. And now it's our turn to be the example. And so when we recognize how God builds, he builds generationally. He's building something through our lives. And you may only think that it's about me and mine, me doing my 9 to 5 like Dolly Parton, you know, just grinding on what God's called me to do now. But you don't understand that literally our children and our children's children are watching the way we work, watching the way we live, watching the way we say one thing and do the same sometimes thing. How come you say this and don't do this? Okay, stop elbowing your parents. Come on, guys. I'm not perfect. But I recognize that in anything I build, it's for my kids. It's to be an example of God in my household for my children. And I'm not perfect at it. In fact, often at times it's a lot of apologies. Dad didn't mean to say that. Sorry. And even in that, you know, just exemplifying how the grace of God works in my household, because I recognize what I'm building and how I'm building to the glory of God. What are you building? For those of you in this room that and you're single, don't think that God's not building anything for you generationally. Even in the way that you prepare and go about your life on a daily basis, like, do it to the glory of God. Build something with your lives that glorifies him. Don't be inspired to jump on whatever the next fad is simply because you saw it on a film or you saw it on a Google search or you saw it on a tourism magazine. Oh, I feel like God's called me to the shores of the Greek Isles. You know that Greece has economic problems, right? No, that's not going to be in your travel brochure. It'll be at your Greek restaurant with the pictures, right, of the same white and blue buildings and the blue shores and, I think that's Jesus speaking to me. Let's just wind up here. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. I was just wondering, hey, like, we're building something. Why is this trumpet guy there? We'll get to that in a second. And I said to the nobles and to the officials and the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread. So they're building a wall. And so as they build, they start to move into different sections of the city where they can't see one another. This is the reason why the trumpet exists, far from one another. And the place where you could hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Turn to somebody, encourage them. God is fighting for you. So we labored at the work. Half of them held spears at the break of dawn until the stars came out. And I also said to the people, let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day. So neither I nor my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of them took off their clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand. We encourage you today, no matter how hard the work gets, fight for corporate prayer, and fight for constant communication. Well, Pastor Nelly, I'm too busy to pray. No, you're too busy not to pray. Fight to pray with one another. Fight to pray with one another. It's key. And fight to stay in constant communication. No matter how busy the wall building got, he made sure that there was time to align their thoughts, align them with the mission that God had called them to. And the reason behind the trumpet is threefold. Now, you'll remember that the word is trumpet, but it's a lot more like a shofar. A shofar is like a ram's horn emptied out so that you could blow it, and it only play a few notes. But when you would hear that trumpet, it was to remind them, number one, that they know the reason why they are building. You know, because sometimes you forget why you're building. Sometimes because of religious activity, you're so focused on doing the building that you forget the reason why you're building and you forget the builder, the master builder who builds you. So when that trumpet sounds, it's to align you. Oh, that's right. I remember. That's that sound. Secondly, it's also to ring the alarm when the enemy is about to emerge, to prepare, to be alert. And so when we take the time to worship God together on a Sunday, it's more than just creating an environment, again, just for the encounter and get chills down your spine when that can be achieved by turning down the aircon. To ring the alarm upon the emergence of the enemy. And then thirdly, to play the Lord's song. to remind them not just of the reason why they're building, but to remind them, hey, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And that's what coming together is, that's why coming together is so important. I'm so blessed to see all of you here today. And not just because we have family feed after this. And not just because we have the opportunity to watch the State of Origin game, but we've come here to build something to the glory of God. You've come here to build your lives to the glory of God. And hopefully you can see that this is the main event. It's to get around the Word of God and encounter Him where He empowers us for His purposes. See, how often, let me put a Monday handle on this, because often you can hear a message like this and you can think, you know what, Pastor Nelly, thank you for the challenge, but you don't do anything. Let me give you some questions to prompt some action this week. Let me ask you this question. How often do you gather with your household to pray? You know, I know the kids will be like, I don't want to pray. I don't pray. You pray so long, Dad. Many of you know my beloved son, Zion. You know, he's still nonverbal. He doesn't talk much. But whenever I tell him it's time to pray, and then I'll start praying, especially when I put him to bed at night, I'll start praying. And if it's too long, he'll say, in Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. And then if I still carry on, in Jesus' name, amen. But what I'm trying to do in his life on a daily basis, or any time that I'm, you know, if I'm in town on when I'm at night, is to create that pattern that he knows that it's time to pray. Because if I can do that as a father, is to align them to God. And they may not like it, but I'm one who stands before you as somebody who was prayed for on a regular basis. My mom and my dad would pray for me. And there were many times because, you know, my dad loved to pray. Oh, he loved to pray. That's why I made sure the lights were off. So, you know, get a quick 10 minutes. In. And then they always say this line before, because we always used to finish with the Lord's Prayer. And there was always this line that you would say before you get to the Lord's Prayer. It's kind of like your alarm when you hear that line. And if you're not, and it's always ends with Lo mato alima, Lo mato faola, like that's our Lord and our Savior in Samoan. And then they say in Samoan, who taught us to pray, and then you go into Lo mato tamai o lelangi, or our Father who art in heaven. And if you ain't on that note, you're going to be praying again for mercy right after that prayer. But you know what it instilled within me? It instilled a pattern of building a household of prayer and worship. I'm not perfect at it, but I recognize what I'm building. And my prayer is that you recognize what you're building. And maybe you need to start some new patterns and just trust the grace of God will keep it consistent. Maybe it's worshiping God. Maybe it's getting in the Word. It doesn't have to be a long, full-on sermon, but just getting, opening up, cracking open the Bible and getting passages from the Bible, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through His Word in your household. It changes atmospheres, and our kids begin to recognize the importance of having God at the center of our households. Doesn't matter how old or how young our kids are, start. Just start. This week, just be encouraged to start. That's how we build our walls, so the enemy can't penetrate. We live in a society that is full of opinions on different matters, but if we don't show the truth of the Word of God in our households, our walls are down. And God is calling us to build our walls. And as your home goes, so does Logan go. If we can build strong families, strong marriages here in Logan, we can build a strong society here in Logan. But it starts here. It starts with us. What are you building? And how are we building? Maybe you've got flatmates. You know, maybe you're not married and you don't have kids or any of that, but maybe you stay with family. Or maybe you stay alone. Then book a Zoom time. Like, just get in prayer. Get in the pattern of building prayer in your household, building worship in your household. And as the wall grows, the temptation for busyness subsides because you're there to declare, to be still, and know that He is God. The last point I had was that the men became so busy building that they started to build distance. So you can imagine some of the men would have built way on the other side of the city. And so that trumpet, that weekly or that hourly or that daily trumpet that was blown, you know, like in modern day, it would sound like this, pew, 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 you know, like, come now, selector, you know, like it would sound like that. And it would be a reminder, hey, let's lock in. Let's be reminded why we're building. Let's be reminded that Christ is at the center of our household. And that's what he invites you in. That's the presence of God in your household. So hopefully you're able to interpret that and create spaces where people encounter the presence of God in your home. I'm going to pray for us today. And I'm going to give us the opportunity to repent, which means to turn away from the sin of distraction and turn towards God and remember what he's building. So I want to invite us to bow our heads, close our eyes. For those of you who are watching online, you can join us on Zoom in just a moment. There's a link right there on the chat. You can join us and we can unpack this and pray for you together today. But if we can bow our heads, close our eyes, just in this holy moment, let me ask you, are you aware of what God is building in your life? And maybe you've been distracted and maybe your desire is to say, hey, you know what, Pastor Nelly, today I want to focus on what God has called me to build in your household. So whether this is for the first time or first time in a long time, or there's just, you're hearing the trumpet call, you're hearing God calling you, and you're saying, I want to build how God's called me to build. If that's you today, just lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for today. Lift your hands and surrender so I can pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you see these hands that are lifted all across this room. We ask, Holy Spirit, for your guidance and your recognition to be able to walk out in the fullness of everything that you've called us to. Lord, with lifted hands, it means that we abandon our own agenda. Lord, we've been building our own way, but we choose to trust and build in accordance with your will. To declare that you are Lord is to declare that you are boss, you are king, you are ruler, and that your ways are higher than ours. And so, God, help us today, even in this moment of ministry, to recognize how you're building in our lives. Start in our homes. Start in our marriages, God. Start with our children. Start in our singlehood right now, Lord God. Start with us as young ones in this room. Start today to recognize that what we are to build is of eternal consequence, of eternal longevity, God. Give us your perspective. Lord, we turn away from sin. We turn away from idolatry and we turn towards you, our King, our Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness and that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, it's with lifted hands we surrender our households to you. And again, like last week, I want to declare Acts chapter 16, verse 31. That you promised that Philippian jailer, and that promise stands today. I just believe by the Spirit of God, just simply for this moment, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be saved, and we will see transformations in us and our households. So I believe that for our households. So I just want to declare your presence over those in our households that do not know you. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that this trumpet would sound, and there will be a rallying, a re-rallying of the troops back to the Savior. Father, we call those who are not in the kingdom in our households back to your kingdom and help us to be the ones who will carry the call, to be examples of compassion and humility in our homes. Even though it's frustrating at times, Lord, we will do the good work and we will not come down. We thank you, Lord, for salvation in our homes. We declare it right now over our children, over our siblings, over our parents, even over our spouses that don't know you yet, Lord. Right now, in Jesus' name, we declare salvation in our homes right now. And Father, we thank you for transformation in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can we give God praise, everybody?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.